Please be seated. Byron will have today's scripture before Ron's lesson.
We'll be reading from Proverbs 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. Thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good to see all of you out. It is a great honor and privilege to stand before you to preach the Word of God. I'll make a minor announcement before I get started this morning. Ashley and Baby Grace are here, but we know everybody's excited, but we would ask that everyone not rush and crowd her or Baby Grace. We are still in the midst of a pandemic, and of the utmost importance to us is our baby's health, so it's nothing personal against you. Just wanted to put that out there, but just good to have them back here. Pray and trust you have your Bibles with you this morning as we will be doing some turning. We want to make sure that the lesson today is in alignment with the Word of God. Abraham is considered a great man of faith. As a matter of fact, when you read through Hebrews chapter 12, you can see what many were able to accomplish by having great faith in God. And in Hebrews 11:8, the Bible reads there, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go into a place which he should have to receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing whither he went. You know, it takes a lot of faith to pack up and relocate your family, not knowing where you're supposed to go. We can read and find that Abraham had his challenges, but we know that he made it through. Likewise, Joshua was a great man of faith. Just consider the office that God had called him to, an office that was previously held by Moses, the lawgiver, the one who God commissioned to go into Egypt and deliver his children from bondage. And now God has called Joshua to lead his nation across the River Jordan. God tells Joshua in Joshua 1:5, as I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. Going into verse 9, be ye strong and of good courage. We know that Joshua had his challenges, but he made it through. Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael, known by many as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, were young men of faith, of great faith. Shortly after being promoted to the position of overseer over the province of Babylon, their faith in God was put to the test. Nebuchadnezzar decides to make an image of gold and commanded everyone everywhere to bow down and worship this idol at the appointed time. And note what they go on to tell King Nebuchadnezzar in Daniel 3, 17 and 18. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. But if not, verse 18, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Just imagine what faith it took to stand before the king and speak those words. We know what our God is capable of. We know that he can deliver us from this storm. However, regardless of what he decides to do, we will die in submission to him. Again, these men made it through. There are several examples of those who possess great faith and of whom we can also say they made it through. But how? How did they make it through? Well, here it is. They leaned on God. As a matter of fact, isn't it common to hear that response when we ask a brother and sister, well, how are you doing? I'm doing fine. I'm just leaning on God. But what does that mean? What does it mean to lean on God? Well, when you lean on someone, this means that you depend on them for their support. They are holding you up, and your very survival depends on them. I don't think anybody's going to argue with me when I say this morning, we all should be leaning on God. However, it is fair to ask, what does that look like? If we were to spend the week with one another, would we walk away or come away with the knowledge that we needed as it pertained to that topic? What it means to lean on God. And that is the title of our lesson. What leaning on God means. Now, while there can be several answers to this question, my research allowed me to pack all of those answers under two main points. Let us notice our first together. Leaning on God means talking to Him. Leaning on God means talking to Him. So we get asked the question this morning, how is your prayer life? And I ask this question because I've had to remind myself personally, prayer is one of the greatest spiritual blessings that we have at our disposal. Peter writes in 1 Peter 3:12, "For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and His ears are open unto their prayers." Would you agree that in order for any relationship to be successful, that there must be communication? We have to communicate with God, right? We cannot say that we're leaning on Him if we are not talking to Him. Despite passages like 1 Thessalonians 5:17, where Paul would write, "Pray without ceasing." Research proved this week that many struggle with communicating to God. And for some, because there is a struggle, they have decided to give it up altogether. So this morning, let's answer a few questions in reference to prayer. The first of which, what is prayer? What is prayer? Well, the word translated pray or prayer in the Greek is the term diome. And it is found 113 times in the New Testament. It carries these definitions. It means to ask, to request, to beg, to beseech, to implore, to urge, and entreat. We could simplify this answer this morning by restating our point. Prayer is talking to God. I was searching for the top reasons why some decide not to pray to God, and among the top of that list was, I don't know how to pray. Have you ever heard that before? I don't know how to do it. Don't know how to pray. Well, it should be refreshing to us that prayer is not a thing that has to be complicated. I believe sometimes we put unfair pressure on ourselves when it comes to prayer because we want to say the right thing, don't we? Or perhaps when we've gone to God in prayer and somebody else is leading that prayer, we hear them and we hear those elaborate words and we come to admire the way that they pray. So we say, listen, I want to model my prayer after that individual. Now, don't get me wrong this morning. There's nothing wrong with admiring the way that somebody prays and says, you know what, I wouldn't mind implementing this or that in my prayers. However, it should not be lost on us this morning that when we are praying, we're talking to our Father. It's not about much saying or vain repetition. Recall the words of Jesus in Matthew 6:13. Let's take a look at that. Matthew 6:13. And here Jesus is speaking against the practices of the Pharisees. Remember, they loved outward appearances. They loved the attention that they got in the marketplace. They would stop wherever they were at the appointed hours of prayer, bow down on their knees, lift up their hands toward the heavens, and would engage in these hour-long prayers. And the people were deceived. They looked at the Pharisees and they said, listen, these individuals must be spiritual if they can stay in prayer to God up to an hour, right? Matthew 6:13. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Again, it's not about vain words, vain repetitions. We are children speaking to our Father. I remember mentioning this maybe a month ago in our evening Bible class. We were talking about this very passage, and I remember making the statement, all prayer is beautiful. Of course, there are some that are more elaborate, and we can say we really appreciate the way that this individual prayed, but all prayer to God is beautiful. And when we don't have the words to say, know that the Spirit makes intercession for us. Romans 8:26. The Bible reads there, likewise the Spirit also helps our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Next question. When do we pray? When do we pray? It would be simple to say in every circumstance, wouldn't it? Pray in every circumstance. Well, we should pray when we are worried. Let's take a look at 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. 1 Peter chapter 5, the verse is 7. Pray when we're worried. Peter would write there, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Casting has the idea of hurling. That is to place something on someone else with great energy, throwing away with force. If you've ever seen a track and field event and watched the shot put, you get a good idea of what Peter is trying to say here. If a person who throws a shot put is going to be successful in that event, they know they have to take all the energy that they can muster, right? And swing that energy perfectly to throw that shot put as far away as possible, right? If they're going to be successful. This is what Peter says here. You take your cares, because they're too heavy for you to bear by yourself in the first place, and you cast it on God. You get those doubts, you get those worries, you get those anxieties as far away from you as possible, trusting and knowing that God cares for you. When we read the book of Psalms, you can't help but realize how much a man like David relied on prayer. And as I was studying this, I had to remind myself, yes, the David, the mighty man of valor, right? The man who God would say is a man of blood. This is why I do not want you building my temple. David relied on God, and he prayed to him often. Let's take a look at Psalm 61. Psalm 61. Psalm 61, and we'll begin at verse 1. Psalm 61, 1. The Bible reads, hear my cry, O God. Attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. David says here, God, I know that there's not one place that I could travel that would put me out of reach of you. And when I find myself troubled, I need you to elevate me, Lord. I need you to place me on the rock that is higher than I. Now, what is the significance in that, church? Place me on the rock that is higher than I. What's significant about that? Well, if David says, Lord, place me there, he acknowledges something, right? First of all, I can't get there by myself. I need your divine strength. I need your assistance, Lord, in reaching that mountaintop. So I'm asking for your help. Place me there, O Lord. And I know if I rely on your strength, your ability to place me on that rock, there's no way that my enemies could get there, because you're not going to be working on behalf of my enemies, are you? Absolutely not. When my heart is overwhelmed, place me on the rock that is higher than I. Likewise, we should pray when in need of healing. Let's take a look at 3 John chapter 1, verse 2. 3 John, we find here that the apostle is praying for the health of Gaius. 3 John chapter 1, the verse is 2. The Bible reads there, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. Likewise, we should pray when we are thankful. And I can say this, we should always be thankful to God and everything that he has done in our lives. And I want to add this, you know, it's easier to simply just say, oh, Lord, I thank you, isn't it? Oh, thank you, Lord. Sometimes we do that in our walking and our pacing. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you. And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with saying thank you to the Lord that way. But we need to go to him in prayer and lift up that thanksgiving, right? Let's take a look at Psalm 103. Psalm 103, beginning at verse 1. Psalm 103, we'll begin at verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who heals all thy diseases, who redeems thy life from destruction, who crowns thee with loving kindness and tender mercy. When we reflect on the spiritual blessings that we have access to, when we reflect on the sacrifice of Jesus, when we reflect on our lives now and think back to where we've come, again, we always have something to be thankful for, do we not? Again, we need to go to God in prayer and give thanksgiving. How about this one? We should even pray to God when we're angry with him. We should pray to him. Now, there are some who may hear that and say, but we never have an occasion to be angry with God. To which I would respond, you're absolutely right. God is holy, God is perfect, God is just, so we should not be angry with him. But if we're going to be honest this morning, don't people become angry at God? Absolutely. God, I pray that I didn't get the outcome that I was expecting. God, I'm angry because I don't understand why certain things are happening in my life. And when people become angry with God, you know the first thing they do? They walk away from him. I don't want anything to do with you, God. Well, no, my advice would be, that's the time to go to God in prayer and express that to him. Tell him that you're upset with him, right? I want you to recall Habakkuk. We remember him. He was upset with God. And his ministry differs in that God does not come to him and say, listen, I have a message for the people. Here's what I want you to tell them. No, he comes to God with his questions. He looks around and he sees a society in chaos and he says, God, you are asleep at the wheel. What are you going to do? He's frustrated. Let's take a look at Habakkuk 1:2. Habakkuk 1:2. The Bible reads there, O Lord, how long shall I cry? I'm praying, Lord, and thou not hear. Are you even there, God? Are you listening? Even cry out unto thee of violence, and thou will not save. We could put it this way. God, are you seeing what's going on? Do you see how the priests and the nation are transgressing your law? Do you see the violence that is taking place? What are you going to do about it? That's Habakkuk's prayer. God will then go on to tell him, listen, I'm not asleep at the wheel as you suppose. I'm going to raise up the Chaldeans, that bitter and hasty nation. We know how that goes. Habakkuk on one hand says, well, God, when are you going to do something? You haven't answered. And then God answers. Then he doesn't like the answer, right? That's how it is sometimes. Next question. Why do you pray? Now, for some, they may hear that question and say, well, didn't you kind of just answer that? We're supposed to pray under every circumstance, but hear me closely. While many know that truth, that we can always go to God in prayer, there are some who struggle with implementing that truth. Another reason that some struggle with talking to God is they say, listen, I don't feel close to him. Have you ever heard that before? I just don't feel close to God. I love him, and I know that he loves me unconditionally, but I don't feel close to him. Again, that's the reason once you go to God in prayer. If you don't feel close to him, talk to him. If you feel like it's not going to make a difference, talk to him. If you look at your life and you say, I just want to see your presence. I want to be able to feel your presence in my life, but I don't feel it. Talk to him. Go talk to him. In this life, we tend to be distant from those we don't talk to. Think about it, church. When we don't talk to an individual generally, isn't there distance there? It is. And the more we talk, the closer we get. You know, one of the main reasons I wanted to come here and work to be your evangelist is I found out about the rest. Bill and John, I don't know if you remember that, but I told you that. That sounds awesome. You all are participating in something that allows you to open up this building and reach out to the community and help. That's great. We know the greatest part about McRest Church is it gave us all the opportunity. Members that generally didn't talk to other members on a regular basis, it gave them that opportunity to know one another and grow closer. Share backstories. Share experiences. And through that program, guess what? You could see it. Some of the members were getting closer, right? The more we talk to one another, the closer we get. I'm sure we all have that person in our life of whom we can say, I can talk to them about anything. I know I have one. Does anybody else have that person? All right, thank you to five people. I'm going to pray for everybody else that does not have that person. But we can look at them and we can say, I just thank God for them. I can talk. It doesn't matter what it is. I can talk to them about anything. What many consider weird, guess what? They don't consider that weird. When I talk to them about my struggles, I can sense that they are really hearing me. They're listening to me. It could be something small and insignificant. I might even second guess and say to myself, you know what? They probably don't even have time to listen to something so foolish. But you know what? They do. They stop and they listen. I really enjoy talking to them. And I know that I always have them to lean on. Again, I can thank God for having a person here in the flesh, physically, that I can say that of. I can talk to this person about anything. But truthfully speaking, we should be able to say that about God. It doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter where I am. I can go to God in prayer and talk to him. I know that he's walking with me. He's holding my hand. And when I'm afraid, I can turn to him and talk to him. When I'm overburdened, I can turn to him and talk to him. When I feel like giving up, I can turn to him and talk to him. When I'm angry, I can turn and talk to him. God is always there. Let us lean on God this morning and strive every day to pray to him. You know, I made this, if you were in Bible class, I actually said this, so, you know, there's no shame in me standing here and saying this to you, because some have heard it already. We were talking about prayer. I cannot remember how we got on the topic, and I think Bill started, then I spoke up. He goes, you know, anybody else ever feel this way, where you kind of look at some of your problems in life and you say, what, that's small. That's not too big, right? I can handle that. And when it gets big or when it gets out of control, then I go to God. I pray to him then. And so I laugh because I'm like, well, Bill found himself in a situation that I most Sundays find myself in. I'm talking to the congregation and like nobody responds, right? So I unmuted my mic and I said, Bill, me too. Me too. And that's common for church leaders because we tell ourselves what? I have to be strong, right? I have to be strong. I have to keep going. The people are depending on me. They need me, right? And when it gets out of control, okay, then I'll pray about that. But this small little thing here, I can take care of that myself. Boy, did I get an education this past week on that. No, it's whatever it is, you need to take it to God in prayer. I told him, I said, hey, look, you know, sometimes I find myself praying for others more than myself. I pray for myself, but, you know, as a church leader, you get the calls, you get those text messages. Can you pray for this? Can you pray for that? And there's nothing wrong. The Bible tells us to confess our faults one to another, and the effectual and fervent prayers of a righteous man avails much. We know what James writes in James 5:16, but again, we have to take the time to pray for ourselves. As we like to sing, oh, what peace we forfeit when we do not go to the Lord in prayer. That takes me to my next point. Leaning on God means listening to him. Leaning on God means listening to him. And I could ask the question, are you receiving your Father's wisdom? As I mentioned in my last point, communication is vital to any successful relationship. And as you have lived, I'm sure you have come to understand that communication is a two-way street. Have you ever been around a person who just simply likes to transmit? They transmit and transmit and transmit and transmit. And you're like, okay, I'm getting it. Now it's your time to listen, and they don't listen. You know somebody like that? Okay, once again, us five individuals, we know somebody like that, right? But they transmit, and we're like, hey, okay, you don't have a problem talking. Now I need you to listen. Again, communication is a two-way street. The same is true when it comes to communicating with God. Yes, God has granted us the ability to kneel at his throne and entreat him, not as lowly servants, but as children, not as aliens, but as royalty. And again, to that we can say amen. However, when the child of the king comes before him with any request, they must take that time to step back and listen to what the king has to say. We cannot be leaning on God if we won't listen to him. Well, are you getting wisdom? And the reason I ask that question is because wisdom is ringing out. It's so very important. Take a look at Proverbs 3:13. Proverbs 3:13. Again, that is Proverbs 3:13. Blessed is the man that finds wisdom, and the man that gets understanding. Likewise, we find in Proverbs 4:7, wisdom is the principal thing. It is the chief thing, and because of that, get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding. That is, in all that you go out and get, make sure you grab a hold of wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. How do you get the wisdom that the Lord is speaking of here? How do we get it? Because on one hand, we understand that there is certain wisdom that comes along with this life, right? We can say, some can say, I have lived long enough and I've experienced much, so I have wisdom. Amen. How do we receive the wisdom that the Lord is speaking of? Let's take a look at Psalm 119:97. Psalm 119:97. Again, that is Psalm 119:97. The Bible reads there, oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. That is, your law is what I have devoted my thoughts to. And I focus on responding properly to the information. Verse 98. Thou through thy commandments hast made me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. That is, I have gathered wisdom from your word because of what it offers. They are the words of life, right? In our Leviticus Bible class, and I apologize this morning because we were not able to have it, but thank you, Joe, for filling in. We are talking about the law that God gave his children. And how according to Deuteronomy, right, chapter 4, verses 6 through 8, it was given to them for their wisdom. And this, he says, the nations will look at you and see your great wisdom and understanding and your distinct nature, right? By the law that I have given you. The wisdom that God is speaking of is found in the Holy Scriptures. I want to note Proverbs 3:5. It is a passage that is often quoted that we are familiar with. Let's take a look at that. Proverbs 3:5. That was our key text this morning. Proverbs 3:5. Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. That's all I'm saying here. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. Does that mean you can't come to understand things? Does that mean there are never areas in life where you can't use judgment? No. What is he saying here? Lean on him. That is, don't resort to your own logic or what you define as rational. We're intelligent beings. We like to think ourselves logical, don't we? We like to believe ourselves to be rational, don't we? But God says, don't lean on that. Well, why? 1 Corinthians 1:25, the Bible reads there, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. So we understand something. We can never place God in the category of foolish. We can never place him in the category of weak. But let's just say we could find the occasion that we could do so. Paul is saying, you listen here, we could find the case that we could call God foolish. You need to understand, it's going to far surpass anything that you would call wise. If we could ever place him in the category of being weak, it's going to far surpass anything that you would call strength. That's why. Don't lean on your own logic, your own standard of rationality. Don't do that. Jeremiah understood this years ago. He writes in Jeremiah 10:23, O Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself. It is not a man that walks to direct his own steps. Well, why, Jeremiah? I'm sure Jeremiah would respond this way. Well, when we have directed our own steps and guided our own steps, it's taken us away from God, right? It's taken us further away from the creator and sustainer of life. Proverbs 3:6, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Now, for many years, this passage has been taught this way. Wherever you go, it doesn't matter where you find yourself, you make sure that you always acknowledge that God is the one who has given you all of those blessings. Don't forget James 1:17. Don't forget that every good and perfect gift, it comes down from above. So wherever you find yourself in life, you give thanks to God, and he'll direct your steps. Is that what this pastor's saying? That's how it's been taught. But that's not what's being said here. Now, on one hand, it is true. I just mentioned this our last point. Wherever we are, we should give thanks to God. Never cease to give thanks for everything that he's done for us. But I always stress the importance of studying these words to exegete the meaning of what these inspired writers are trying to communicate. The word for ways, it has a dual meaning in the Hebrew. On the one hand, it does mean road, distance, or journey. But on the other hand, it means manner or conduct. So let me ask you a question. Everywhere you travel, what are you taking with you? I see somebody mouthing it, but I can't hear. See what I'm talking about, Bill? You ask a question in whisper. What are you taking with you wherever you go? What are you taking? You, right? Your character is coming with you, right? Who you are, your conduct, even if we try to dress it up and appear a certain way, right, give it enough time, our truest self is going to come to light, correct? So wherever you go, your character is going to travel with you. All right. The word for acknowledge here is know, notice, and recognize the authority. Well, notice and recognize the authority of who? Says him. That's Jehovah God, right? Know that he is sovereign. Recognize that. Don't forget it. Know that he is the creator and sustainer of life. Recognize that. Don't forget it. Recognize you are a child of his. Don't forget that. Recognize he is your father. Don't forget that. Recognize he is holy. Therefore, you should be holy. Don't forget that. Recognize he is the leader. We often tend to forget that. But don't forget that. When you don't forget those things, when you remember those things and keep those at the forefront of your mind, what's happening? What's happening? Could I say we are conforming to his image? Are we seeking to be like him? So if we say, listen, because I know who my father is, I can't do A, B, C. Is that conforming to God? Well, absolutely. I know who my father is, and I know what my father expects from me. So I can't do A, B, C, right? I have to conform to him. I know that my father is the leader. So where he is guiding, I have to follow. Right? I know that my father is holy, and if I belong to him, I have to strive the best I can to be holy. Right? That's conforming to him. The passage is saying when you do that, then he is directing your steps because he's the one that's doing the molding. We see how that fits. Lord, you are the potter, and I'm the what? There it is. If you recognize his authority, know him, reflect upon that, act on that, he's molding you, and thus he is directing your steps. Let's take a look at Romans 12, too. I'll give you the other side of that to help this illustration stick. Romans 12, 2. Remember there Paul would write, and be not what? The word's conformed, right? Be not molded by the world. We should never fit the world's mold for us, right? Instead, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. So then if I am conforming to the world, if we are conforming to the world, let's just say it is the case that we are. Who's directing our steps? The world, right? Imagine as Jesus hung on that cross and they're wagging their heads at him. They're reviling him. And they're saying, thou that destroyed the temple in 3 days and built it again. Listen closely. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. Why didn't he come down? Why didn't he come down? Now, we always answer, if it were us hanging on that cross and we know we had the power, we know we had the ability to deliver ourselves, we always say this, we know we would have come down. Well, why? Are we admitting that in that moment we would have fallen under the influence and the molding and the directing of the world? You see, if Jesus comes down from the cross, who's he listening to? Instead of his father, right? Who put him there in the first place? His father. Mold yourself in the ways of the Lord, and he will direct thy steps. Amen. Take a look at Psalm 119:11. Had an interesting conversation in the barbershop yesterday. I don't know how we got on it. We were talking about sin. That came up. And so I asked them all, is it possible for you to go an hour, 2 hours without sinning? You already know their response. No. I said, well, I'm confused. You can't go 2 hours without sinning? And sometimes that's the automatic answer, right? That's the automatic response. We program ourselves to respond in such a way. So I just asked him some questions. Well, first of all, well, what is sin? Well, okay, it's transgression of the law. Okay, the Bible is very clear on what sin is then, yes? Yes, it's very clear. It's not open to our opinions then, is it? No, it's not open to our opinions. So you telling me, once again, you can't go an hour or two without doing it? You can see the light bulbs coming on. So yeah, it's possible. Took him to this passage. Psalm 119:11. Thy word have I hid in my heart. That's up here. That I might not do what? That I might not sin against thee. I want your word, your ways, Lord, to mold me. Moving forward, Proverbs 3:7. The Bible reads, there be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear that is revere the Lord and depart from evil. Why is listening to God so important? Well, too often it is the case. You hear members of the Lord's church say things like, well, I'm going to pray on it, or we're going to pray on it. So as we noted in our first point, that is, I'm going to cast that on God. I'm going to talk to God, only to turn away and engage in something that moves them from God because they didn't stop to listen. This is why you have things like congregations with one shepherd. Not scriptural, but that's what happens when you say, God, well, I'll pray to you, but then I'm not going to listen to you. This is how you have things like instruments coming into the worship assembly. God, I'm going to pray to you and talk to you, but now I'm not going to stop and listen to what you have to say. I've sat in too many men's meetings in the past, and it was always said, we just want to do God's will. We want to do God's will. We want to do God's will, to which I've always responded, why am I the only one in here with an open Bible? If we're going to be honest about doing God's will, we need to open up his word and see what his will is for our lives, because this is how God is talking to us today. Again, wisdom is ringing out. God has given us the answers to all that we need. And I know that we struggle with this. Sometimes we say, no, that sounds too simple, but he has. 2 Peter 1:3, let's take a look at that passage. 2 Peter 1:3. 2 Peter 1:3. Again, that is 2 Peter 1:3. The Bible reads there, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. So we either believe that or we don't. Has God given us all things as it pertains to life, the things in this life, and then what it means to be godly? Amen. Yes, he has. Yes, he has. Now, there are some who will hear this and say, well, God hasn't specifically spoken on this or that. Well, principally speaking, yes, he has. And recall the words of Solomon. Remember, he would say, there is no new thing under the sun. We like to think that we're doing something new. My mom used to always tell me that. It would make me laugh. Do you think you and your friends are actually creating something new or coming up with something new? There's nothing new under the sun. Well, what about those times, Lord, when I'm still confused? My answer to that would be, well, that's where we trust him, right? We trust him, and we consider his track record. Remember, Romans chapter 15, the verses 4, the things that are written aforetime, they are written for our learning. Open up God's inspired word. Read about him, learn of him, and see how he has acted, how he does act. We have to trust in him and his track record. This is why it's so vital that we study God's word. 2 Timothy 3:16, the Bible there reads, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. Again, let us lean on God through listening to what he has to say, because he'll never lead us astray. How does Psalm 23 and 3 read? Let's take a look at it. Psalm 23 and 3. The Bible there reads, he restores my soul, and he leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. If he's going to lead us on the path of righteousness, that means he can never lead us astray or lead us to destruction. We can trust him. We can trust him. Leaning on God is very practical in nature, and it is something that we must all do, because truthfully speaking, he is the only one that can hold us up. Word is the only thing that will hold us up. If you think about what Paul would tell those Ephesian elders in Acts chapter 20, he says, and now I commend you, I hand you over to what? To God and his word, and that is able to build you up and give you an inheritance. That's what we need to lift us up. We need to cast our care and our burdens on him, that we might be granted the peace that he has promised, and we need to use his word to direct our steps. You are here today, and you are not a Christian, that you can be, and that salvation can be yours. Jesus provided the answer to man's greatest problem. What will wash away my sins? What will atone for my sins? The answer to that question is his blood, the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus Christ is the reason that salvation has been made possible. This is why he says it. John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And I am grateful. We all should be eternally grateful that that way has been laid out for us in Scripture. It's not left open to our interpretation. We don't have to guess. The Bible tells us that one takes the way that Jesus speaks of first by hearing the word of God. Romans 10:17, the Bible reads there, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. One must believe that Jesus Christ is the Messiah that is to come into the world. John 8:24, the Bible reads there, except ye believe that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. And lets us know that all mankind everywhere must repent. Acts 17:30, the Bible reads there, the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commands all men everywhere to repent. It lets us know that all must confess Christ as the Son of God and as Lord. Romans 10:10, the Bible reads, therefore with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And it lets us know that baptism is essential. Mark 16:16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be condemned. And after coming out of that watery grave of baptism, being made a new creature in Christ, we are all called to live faithfully unto death, according to Revelation 2:10. It could be the case that you were here this morning and you have already taken those steps. But after reflecting on today's message, you say, listen, I'm not leaning on God the way that I'm supposed to. I need to talk to him more and I need to listen to him more. I say to you, why don't you come? Tomorrow is never promised. James tells us in James 4:14 that our lives are but a vapor that appear for a little while and vanish away. If there is anything that we can do here to assist you, to help increase your faith, we're here for you. If you need to respond to the invitation in any way, why don't you come at this time as we all together stand and sing.
Shall we gather at the river?